We hope this explanation of God's word enriches your life. To help you understand the audience for this talk, we suggest you read the context material on the About Us page. Please read also our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material from philipjensen.com. The following sermon was given at St. Matthias Family Church, where Philip Jensen was senior minister.
Well, I guess we all know what it's like to have broken relationships, to have friendships that, for one reason or another, turn sour. Most of us have got families where the great aunt has not talked to the grandmother for the last 10, 15, 20 years, or there's that kind of hidden relationship so that when the wedding comes, we've got to keep that side of the family sitting over there, whereas that side of the family sitting over there because they don't get on with them because of, well, uncle one day refused to the royal toast, or whatever it was the particular reason why they've had the fallout, and it's just gone on for years and years. In fact, we all know not only kinds of the broken friendships, the jealousies, the envies, the unkind word that was said, the silly act that has gone on so that people don't relate to each other, but we've all been caught up with it in some way or another too, haven't we, at different stages. I finally coped the other day with returning a library book. Had it for a long time for the local library. Just couldn't really bring myself to take it back. Because after a certain time, you know, the fine is worth so much more than the book. And you kind of feel silly kind of going in and saying there. And you did lose it there for a while. And then you found it. And so it sat on the shelf. And every time I looked over there it was, this book on dolphins. And I didn't really like the book. It wasn't very good in the first place, so the library didn't need it back, you know. I'd only borrowed it because I was in a debate on dolphins and we lost anyway, so it obviously wasn't a very good book. And you know, why would you want to have a book on dolphins? And there's a thousand reasons why I would not be able to take the book back. I mean, it was all kind of silly and stupid, but it meant that I never took any other book out from the local library either, because I knew that when I walked in, they would know that I had that book on dolphins, didn't I? And so you actually lose relationship with the community around about you in terms of their public library, and it's your own doing and it's your own making, and you keep on reinforcing it because you're out of relationship. You're out of friendship. This passage is about making friendship again. It's about being reconciled. It's the challenge that comes from God, because Paul is saying he is actually God's messenger giving God's message to the world. This is God's message to the world to be reconciled to God. Now, most people in Australia know about God and they are aware of God, but they are not God's friends. I guess it's a little bit like Laurie was talking about himself. You know that God can be there, and you know God is there, you're aware of it, but God is not your friend. The appeal here is to make peace with God, to heal the quarrel, to overcome the enmity that stands between us and God, to establish real friendship with God. I was lobbied by a political candidate some time ago who came to see me at home and asked me to encourage you to vote for him. And seeing you can't remember it, that shows how far he got. And we talked about his relationship with God, and I said, are you yet at the stage of being at peace with God? He had been an atheist. He used to write an atheist magazine. He'd come away from that position to a position of believing in the existence of God, had moved to the point of believing in a personal God, even come to the point of believing that Jesus was God. I said, have you reached the stage of being at peace with God? And he said, no, you can't be at that stage. That would be presumptuous to say that I was God's friend to be at peace with God. And yet that is what Paul is challenging us to do. That is what he says God wants us to do. He says, God says, be reconciled to me. Be reconciled to God. Are you a friend of God? Are you at peace with God, in friendship and harmony with him? Or do you continue, as so many of us do, for years and years, knowing of God, aware of God, but yet really ignoring him, paying very scant attention to him, like one of those long-lost cousins that you never even bother writing to, except possibly send the occasional Christmas card? Or using him. You know, when the going gets tough and you're in great difficulty, when the business deal is really hanging on the edge, or the examination has come upon us, or when we're in that car accident, we call out to him suddenly. We want him then, but basically from day to day we do not have him. Or possibly you're still at the stage of rejecting him. Or like me in the library, hiding from him, desperately hoping that somehow it'll all sort itself out somewhere, but not wanting to find out lest it kind of costs too much. The message today is be reconciled to God, because reconciliation is on. You see, how is it possible for me to be reconciled if I am at fault? If I am the one who has mucked up the relationship, how can it be possible for me to get right with the law if I'm the lawbreaker? To get right with the community if I'm the thief? The answer Paul has for us today is that the message of God is that reconciliation is now on. It is open season for reconciliation. God has acted to make reconciliation possible. You see a little advertisement in the newspaper. It says, during this month, the month of June, the local library, concerned to get back the many books that are stolen, is declaring an amnesty. All fines are cancelled. Bring your book back, no question asked. Drop it in the box outside the library door. We're more interested in getting the book back than charging the fine. What an opportunity. Never availed itself. For the 7 years or so I had that book out, never availed itself. Daily scouring, I'd never heard of an amnesty. And so you hang on to the book, thinking, I couldn't possibly afford the fine. I couldn't do anything about it. I want them to somehow say it's all right, to give me a little message. God says it is open season for amnesty. It is now on. Reconciliation freely available. The fine has been paid. For it's not only a declaration of God, it's more than that. It is the action of God to make reconciliation possible, so that we who are the guilty parties can come home. It's more than he's declared it, he's worked it. Now, how has God fixed it up? This is one of the most extraordinary statements and ideas in the whole Bible. It is astonishing. In order that we can be reconciled, in order that it be fixed up, God has made his Son to be sin. That's what's being said. It's an extraordinary passage. You see it there at the top of the outline. If you haven't got a Bible in front of you, you can still see it in the top of the outline. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Somebody was sinless. Only God. None of us are sinless, are we? None of us are perfect. None of us would want to claim that we have never done anything that is wrong. Surely we're not willing to now do something as wrong as tell that lie. We all know that we've done things that are wrong. We've all got things of which we're embarrassed and ashamed about, of which we'd not like other people to know, and of which, well, it would be just straight out. Yes, we don't want to know about those things, do we? We're all like it. We're all imperfect. And yet, here is somebody without sin. It is only God who is without sin, and yet that is what people saw in the man Jesus. They saw his sinless character. For Jesus was God become man. And Jesus was always true to his divine nature, always obedient to his Father in heaven, always in relationship with his Father, come to do his Father's will, so that Jesus could speak of God in heaven and speak of him as being one with God. I and the Father, he said, are not at enmity. We're not broken off in our relationship. We're at peace with each other. In fact, we are one. United with God, with no need for any reconciliation. But the extraordinary part of the statement here is that God made him to be sin. That's the extraordinary part. He who had no sin to be sin, not to be made a sinner, God couldn't make him a sinner because he wasn't a sinner, but made him to be the very embodiment of sin itself. God placed upon him what Jesus willingly accepted, though with tremendous disgust and horror. God placed upon him the sin of the world, and condemned by it he died. He was cut off from God. The words of the psalmist, he dies, ringing on his lips, he calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you deserted me? Why have you abandoned me? Here he is in perfect harmony and unity with his Father for all eternity, living in that perfect relationship that comes from two people who have got nothing to go between them, and now suddenly God lays the sin upon the world on him so that he is wrenched apart from his own Father and knows the separation from God that we experience, but knows it in the extreme. And knows it not because of the things he has done wrong, but because of the things that we have done. For he has done nothing to deserve that. Jesus bore the full brunt of our broken relationship because he was one with the Father and yet was condemned and deserted. But why? Well, the verse says it there, doesn't it? For us. Made to be sin for us. It's an extraordinary and fantastic idea that God took sin so seriously that he accepted the consequences of it fully upon himself. It is so extraordinary that God loves us so astonishingly that Christ died for us. Greater love has no man than this, he should lay down his life for his friends. But strangely, Jesus has greater love because he lays down his life for his enemies. It's extraordinary, isn't it? If you grasp hold of the fact that we are really living in enmity with God, that we don't want to know about him, that we're actually hiding away from him by the very things that we're doing, that we're only when we call upon him just using him for our convenience, and to realise that people like that, like you and me, are the people for whom he lays down his life. That he becomes sin for us. And therefore reconciliation is now on. Therefore the penalty has been paid fully and utterly, so that the amnesty is declared. Now the declaration of amnesty is made. We can come home. But it's better than that. That's only half the story, and there's even more, and it's even greater. It's hard to believe that, really. If you know the pangs of guilt, if you know the loneliness of being cut off from God, if you know the desolation that can come from being out of touch, then the idea that you can come home is fantastic. But let me tell you something, it's even better. It's even better than that God should take my corruption upon himself. It's even better. Look at it here, because it not only that he was made sin for us, but that so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For not only did he become sin for us, but we can become righteous in him. We who have done so much that is wrong, we whose consciences can be so easily pricked, we who have ignored him and rejected him, used him, hated him, treated him with contempt, knowing all about us, our jealousies and our envies, our rivalries and our hatreds, our gossips and our adulteries, knowing all about us, yet we can become the righteousness of God. Ponder it for a moment. Not just righteous, but God's righteousness can be given to us. The same right standing that God himself has. If you really knew my past record, not just the little titbits that I show you, like stealing library books, if you really knew it, you would say, how could that man ever be righteous? If I knew yours, I could say the same thing, couldn't I? What chance is there ever for us to really be right with God, with the same right standing that God has with himself? How could you ever claim such a thing? How could you ever hope for such a thing? Which was, of course, the very point the politician was making with me. How could you ever be so much at peace with God to have said that I have arrived? I am there. I'm okay with God. If God met me, he'd say, oh yeah, he's all right. What kind of arrogant pig would you be to think that you could ever arrive at that stage of life? But that is what is being promised here. Not only have we been released from the consequences of our sin, not only are we pardoned, like some courteous forbearance of God says, all right, I'll overlook it, don't worry about it, you know, I mean, just leave it alone. You know, the window's broken, I know, but that's okay, you can come home. I'll fix it up sometime. It's not just a kind of remission for years in jail. It's all right, well, you spent some time in jail, we'll knock off the sentence now and you can have some early release. It's not like that. So that you're let out, but still with a black mark against your name. Still with a stigma of, I have served the prison sentence. Still with the inability to be able to have certain occupations in the community or lose your voting rights and a whole range of other things because somewhere in my background, you're pardoned from it, but I've done it. No, no, it's better than that. God made us right with him, with his righteousness, so that we're treated and accepted just as if it had never happened. It is completely done away with in our relationship with God. What can we say? The righteousness that only ever really belongs to God is given to us. And the sin, which only ever really belonged to us, God takes upon himself. It's a double transfer. It's a double substitution. God, who is perfectly intrinsically righteous, becomes sin, so that we who are intrinsically sinful might become righteous. It is an astonishing part of the Bible, isn't it? It is an extraordinary idea. But it is at the very heart of what Christ was doing on the cross, which is at the very heart of what Christianity is all about. This is the message. This is the fundamental of the gospel of Jesus. This is God's declaration of amnesty. Do you see it? What happened when Christ died? Do you see the incredible love and mercy of God that God was displaying for us? Do you see the enormous lengths he was going to that we might be reconciled with him? He did it for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But notice, friends, it's in him, in Christ, that we become the righteousness of God. It's not in ourselves. We could never be that in ourselves. There's no way by pulling myself up by my shoestrings I could get to the stage of being righteous with God. It's a hopeless cause in myself. It's only in him and his death on my behalf that I could ever be that. In ourselves we are still in our sins and still the enemies of God. But it is in Christ that we are pardoned, and more than pardoned, made righteous with God's righteousness. God declares the reconciliation is on. It is on because he has acted in Christ. And therefore the way to reconciliation is Christ. But are you in him? The passage then talks about being sinless, or sinful, or righteous. What are you? We know that you are not sinless. The Bible teaches us that, and we know it from common life. None of us are that. We aren't sinless and we can't be sinless. Only Jesus is without sin. But he became sin for the sinful, so that we might become the righteous. So are you still sinful? Or have you become righteous in God's sight by being in Jesus? It is open season for reconciliation. Friendship is possible and available with your Maker. Be reconciled to God while you may. You say, well, what do I have to do? Fundamentally, you have to talk to him about it. Turn back to beg mercy in the name of Jesus. I'm going to lead in prayer in a few moments, in the kind of prayer you'd need to pray. And I invite you to pray it with me now, if you would like to. But it's not something that's any point pressuring people quickly for. It's got to be true within yourself. And again, I think Laurie is very helpful for us today in talking about that. I didn't know those things about you, Laurie. But making a decision one day under pressure is not going to really get you right with God. And for some, it takes weeks to work it out. Even when I've come to the point of saying, yes, I know that's what I want, it can still take some time to work out. If you want to know more, then ask some friends about it. You may be embarrassed about that, so let me tell you a couple of easy ways you can even get help. One is during morning coffee again this morning. I'm just going to stand up over here and have my cup of coffee. And I have a little booklet here that we've produced in this church called Two Ways to Live. And if you'd like to, it's about how you get right with God. And if you'd like to just come and ask me for that book, then we could stand and have a chat about it. I could introduce you to a friend who could be helpful to you. Or we could go away and read it yourself, if you like, in your own time. Another way, of course, is the book that that Steve mentioned to us earlier, that book by John Chapman, which is available up here on the bookstore behind us. It again deals with that kind of subject about having a fresh start with God. Might like to buy that. Or I'll give you another alternative too, lots of alternatives, because it doesn't really matter which one you follow. In the card here, if you just notice that card, down the bottom of it, if you could see in the small print down the bottom, it has a little spot which says, I'd like to investigate the claims of Jesus Christ from the Bible. And if you're filling that card out in your name and address, you'd care to just tick that little box, then we'd be happy to come around and talk with you about how you could do that, so that you could do it in the privacy of your own home, at your convenience and time, wherever you like. In the end, it's not a matter of talking to us, it's a matter of talking to God, isn't it? But if we can be of any help to you in the books that are available, in talking to you personally here, or in talking to you personally at home, then we want you to know that the offer is available for us. We will help anyone we can here, because like Paul, we're just the messengers of God. We have the message of God, and that is, be reconciled to him. For now already, the reconciliation has been won by Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the talks on philipjensen.com. Please check our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material on philipjensen.com.